Choose this day whom you will serve. Turn with me this morning in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. Verses 14 through 18. And if you wouldn't mind standing, I'd appreciate it. Put your finger right there where it is so you can hold it. And if you want, you can close your Bible right now. This is the living word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true from Genesis to Revelations. Today, my heart is receptive and my spirit is alive as I learn to submit my will to His. I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Open up, and I think it's going to come up on the screen. Joshua 24, verse 14 through 18. Now, therefore, reverently fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in which the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, the Amorites who dwelt in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said to the people, that's verse 19, let's bypass that. But he did. He let the people know that he can't serve the God if they're not going to truly serve Him. And what he was saying is, it's either going to be God or it's going to be the world. You make the choice. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, God, take this message by the mighty Holy Spirit and use it to your glory. As I studied, O Lord, and prepared, I felt your presence. Let what I felt in my studies go forth to our people. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. See, here's what kind of took place. Joshua, in his latter days of his life now, approached the people of Israel, and he said, and I kind of give you my own paraphrase, okay, in this effect. It is about time to get off the fence and make a choice. Whom are you going to serve? Will it be the Lord, or will it be the dumb idols that have been among you ever since the days of captivity in Egypt? Whom will you serve? Will it be the God of your God, the God that took you through so many things, the Lord that saved you so many times, or will it be those statues that have done nothing for you? This was a decision point maker that he was giving to his people. See, then Joshua declared that for as what he was concerned, he and his house was going to serve the Lord. Didn't make a difference what anybody else wanted. And see, that's the point and the thing that we have to understand. The decision is yours. You are the sum total of the choices you make. It's not the choices your parents make for you. It's not the choices I make, and I try to make the best choices I can for my children. But it's not my choice. I can do all and pray all I want to have them make it to heaven. But unless they choose Jesus, unless they choose God, they are doomed to eternal damnation. That's harsh, but that's the truth. Joshua is saying that in so many words, as for me and my house, I'm going to. See, he made the decision that he was going to make sure his house at least knew the Lord. They still had to make the choice on their own as the family members. But he said, as for my house is going to be under the auspices of God. My house is going to be a servant to God. Hallelujah. And not Satan. Well, the outcome of all that, Israel did serve the Lord for the rest of the days of Joshua. And those judges who outlived him, they served the Lord. And today, that's no different. In today's society, in today's world, these are the days of decisions. These are the days that we need to make decisions. Decisions that will affect the destiny of all of us are being made daily. The decision that God is calling for this morning, and it's for the most important decision that we will ever make in our entire life. This decision is whether or not you will become and come and serve Christ and live for Christ, or if you choose not to. As for me and my house, I choose Jesus. How about you? This morning I want to give you reasons why, outcome of what happens, and the results of choosing Jesus. The very first comment, very first thought pattern I have to give to you, this is a decision that is personal. It is not a decision that is made by the family, even though I'm saying to my family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Under my roof, they will, because they're required to by my rule. Once they're out of my house, my rule isn't there, even though I pray that they will serve. But the choice is there. It's a personal decision that each and every one of us has to make in your life. John 3:36. Go there as it comes up on the screen. These are a lot of scriptures, and please underlay these scriptures. Put them in your Bible somewhere, or keep your bulletin. And he who believes in, has faith in, clings to, relies on the Son, has now possesses eternal life. But whoever disobeys, is unbelieving toward, refuses to trust in, disregards, is not subject to the Son, will never see, experience life, but instead the wrath of God abides on him. God's displeasure remains on him. His indignation hangs over him continually. Wow. Now, listen to what just was said there. That is giving us a reason to make a decision for Jesus, because Jesus says, it's your choice. It's your decision. You choose to serve the Lord, but if you choose not to serve the Lord, It says right there, and I'm not quoting it from my words, Jerry's words. This is the Bible that is telling you that God's displeasure is with you and God's wrath can be upon you. A little quiet. It's a little sobering to understand that, but that's the truth. And the truth will set you free. You have to understand it's a personal decision. Okay? It is personal because it affects you. Right? It doesn't affect your neighbor. It doesn't affect anyone else. But that decision affects you. You. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, it affects me. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, and Jesus is telling us, and this is the reason why he was telling us, is because he understands, guess what? He knows your humanity, doesn't he? Does Jesus know you? Maybe I should say that again. Does Jesus know you? Yes, he does. Because he knows every one of you. He knows your heart. He knows your decision. He knows what you're doing. Guess what? You can't hide from the Lord. You can hide from people. You can hide from everybody else. You can hide from this pastor. But you can't hide from the Lord. But Matthew 11, verse 28 through 9, gives us the effect of a decision that we make. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, not hard, not sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy, easy to be borne. You have to understand Jesus knows you. And he knows when you're down and out. He knows when you're burdened down. He knows when the stress of this society gets you so much and the depression sets in. He knows that. And he's giving you a way out. Now the problem with us, if you're anything like this pastor, we try to hold on to it as long as we possibly can. Come on. You with me? You understand? Whenever we hold on to something, we figure we can do it. I mean, I can handle this. And it would be so much easier if we would turn around and give it to the Lord when it's not so big. But that's not what happens in our humanity. We always try to work it out to our best ability, to our best ability. And when we finally have trashed it, thrown it down, and in total depression, that's when we call on the Lord. According to what I've just read you in the scripture, it says, you know what? Bring your burden to me. Bring it to me first, and I'll take care of it. That's the effect of making that decision to serve the Lord. Making that decision to choose Jesus. Jesus says, when you make that decision, I'm going to see to it that your burdens won't be a load, because I'll take the load away. Okay? I'll make sure that when you are troubled with this world that you live in, and I do believe that Jesus went through many trials and tribulations and troubles that this world threw at him. But he had the way out. And the way out was he called upon the Father in heaven, and the Father in heaven took his burden and laid it upon his shoulders and made the burden light upon Jesus. So he was able to walk high even though it was hard. He was able to walk high even though they were stoning him. He was able to walk high even though they spit upon him. He was able to walk high even when they put him on the cross and killed him, because he knew God above was there easing the load. God above, Jesus now, which sits on the right hand of the Father, is there. He's easing the load for you and I, so that we won't have to feel that heavy burden laid upon our life. That's the effect of that decision to follow Jesus. That's the effect. It's personal because you have an intimate contact with the Lord. Now let me go a little bit before I give you that scripture. You have to understand intimacy. Intimacy is closer than just a friend. A friend is you shake their hand, say, "Thank hallelujah, how you doing today?" And you go home, and that's it. But when you have intimacy, that means you are more closer to that person than anybody else. You can tell them your thoughts, your desires, your secrets, knowing that they will hear you, listen to you, and not condemn you or throw you by the wayside. That's an intimate relationship. It goes way beyond sex. Sex is not intimate. Sex is the lust of the flesh. Okay? I'm just telling you the way it is. Come on. But when you can have a true intimate relationship, it's a love relationship that's between you and another person, but it is intimate. It goes way deeper than the selfishness of sex. And that's what Jesus is trying to get into you, that he wants to be intimate with you. He wants to have that love relation with you so much that you can take your troubles to him, take your problems to him. And guess what? He hears you. He listens to you. He doesn't turn around, "I knew that of you. And see, my wrath will be upon you tomorrow." He doesn't say that. He doesn't, because he has an intimate love for you. Let me give you that scripture. It's found in Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and if anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, I will eat with him, and he will eat with me." What that is saying, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, knocking at the door of your heart. He wants you to open up. He wants you to call out his name. He wants you to listen. He wants you to open the door. And if you will open the door, that intimate relationship will take place, because he will come in. He will abide with you. He will listen to you. He will eat with you, and you will eat with him. And that's where that love relation starts. You have to understand, in Revelation 3, he was given that right before the rapture of the church took place, right before things of worldly disasters took place. He was doing that to help us understand that he is there at the door waiting for you. Let me go on. Not only is it a personal decision, but it is a decision that must be made now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. See, a lot of times, again, we as human beings have a tendency to procrastinate. Put off now what you can do tomorrow. Put off tomorrow what you can do the next day. Especially if you don't want to do it. We're good procrastinators. Okay? Kids in school, you guys are great procrastinators. You'll wait till the day before their final, or the day before the test to study, right? Come on, I know. I was a kid. I went through school. You know, why study a week in advance? I can do it the night before, okay? And you got this large assignment set in front of you, this big assignment. They gave you 2 weeks to do, and you're cramming on Thursday night because it's due on Friday. Procrastinate. Okay? Well, Jesus says, don't procrastinate. Because if you procrastinate, here's what can happen if you procrastinate and come Friday morning when you turn the partial work done. What happens? You get an F or a D. You don't get the grade that you could get if you would have had the 2 weeks to study. When you procrastinate, things happen that are not good. And when parents see that big F on your report card, they're going to ask, why? And I'm sure you'll give them all kinds of excuses. That teacher just hates me. It's a teacher's fault. I'm a good studier and I learn, but she just doesn't teach. You know what? I've heard them all. I have twins. I've heard them all. Krista, don't listen to a word they say. Yes, William, you tell them. But by procrastinating causes trouble. So I'm telling you that decision to know the Lord as the choose Jesus should be made now and don't wait for tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, what? Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He is saying that for a reason, because Jesus, like I said before, Jesus knows you more than you know you. Okay? And I know every one of you, if you're like this pastor, why do it today? I can do it tomorrow. Okay, come on. And that's the thing. Jesus knows you. And that's why he put that scripture there. He's saying, don't wait for tomorrow, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Don't wait for tomorrow, but do it now, because now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? Not only does it need to be made now, because we do not know what tomorrow holds. Can any of you tell me what tomorrow is going to hold for you? None of you. We only know what goes on right now in the life today. James 4:14 says, yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. I can give you example after example after example where people procrastinate and think they have more time. I'll wait. I've heard it, Ray, and I know, Ray, you've heard it too. I've got time. I've got time. You know. But Ray and I also know when they get to that point in their last part of their life, they don't have time. You know. So now is the time, the acceptable time. Columbine was a great example of a bunch of kids that just went to school one morning. Thought everything was okay. Another day at school. They get in. They get ready to do their studies. And two Satans, two demons came in and without notice killed several young people and sent them to eternity. Do we know our life? Went to one young lady and says, take back your recognition of the Lord Jesus. You told me you know him. Now you take it back or you're going to die. She would not relinquish. She chose Jesus. She chose Jesus. She's in eternity today because she chose Jesus. Difficult for human beings to understand that, but not difficult for a Christian to understand. I would much rather choose Jesus and live in eternity with him than to deny Jesus and have to go through the hell of what I would feel afterward. Choose Jesus. You don't have tomorrow. Every one of you, listen to what I'm saying. You do not have tomorrow. You could walk out that door and some lunatic come down the road and destroy you and send you to eternity. You don't have tomorrow. You have right now. Oh my goodness, Pastor, you're getting a little hard. No, I'm not. I'm giving you the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to make the decision now before Satan hardens your heart and the Holy Spirit stops calling you. Do you understand? God only utilizes the Holy Spirit for a season to call out for your decision to be made. What Satan is doing during that season is doing all he can to destroy your ability to decide. And there comes a time when Satan, when the Lord says, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind. I will relinquish the Holy Spirit from even coming to you. I'm not telling you that that's the end, but I'm telling you how much harder it will be to accept the Lord if that happens. So don't let that happen. Don't let Satan harden your heart. When you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, the convicting force of the Holy Spirit, I say, give in now, because you don't have a guarantee that that Holy Spirit will talk to you tomorrow or the next day or the next day. You don't have the promise that Jesus is going to continue yearning you to come. You do not have that option. The decision must be made now because it cannot be made after death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and just as it is appointed for all men once to die, and after that, certain judgment. Do you understand? And I hear this over and over and over again by different denominations that they are praying for you to come out of purgatory for those that have passed on. They have not known the Lord. They're trying to pray you out of hell, and they think they can do it. Well, they can pray all they want, but if you made the decision to go to hell, you are going there, and there is no return. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Hold on. There are denominations out there that will deceive you. There are denominations out there that will say that we are, once you die, we're going to pray you out. It's not going to happen. After death comes judgment. Now, why should we make that decision? Why should we make that decision? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look to your neighbor, tell him you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. According to the Word of God, it's the truth. We all have sinned and we all come short of the glory of God. Whoa! Why should we make a decision to choose Jesus? Because we cannot save ourselves. You can't save yourself. You can't, your family can't save you. I can't save my, I would love to save my children. I would love to say, God, okay, they're under my house, so Lord, they're saved because I'm saved. Red flag, no. You can't save yourself. It cannot be done by any good works or good deeds you do. Whoa. Do you understand? You can do all the good works, and I hear it all the time. And Ray, I know you and I hear it. Oh, I'm a good person. I've done all these good works. Look at all the things I've done in my life. And they're on their deathbed trying to tell us and trying to convince us that they're going to make it to heaven by their good works and their good deeds and how much money they've given. I don't care how many good works you do. Hallelujah. I don't care how good you do. I don't care how many good deeds you do. My Bible says that it only comes by choosing Jesus, by recognizing him. There's going to be a lot of good shoes in hell. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He washed us. You got to understand that we need to make this decision because God doesn't want us to see our soul in eternal hell. God prepared a plan from the Garden of Eden for us to choose Jesus. Throughout all of Old Testament history, he made a way for us to choose Jesus. He brought his loving Son to this earth for us to choose Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth, lived here, gave you an example to live by, and died. We must make that choice because Jesus died for us to save us. How, then you ask, is that decision made? How do I make that decision? I'm glad you asked. Romans 10, verses 9 and 11 says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not that hard. We make a whole lot bigger deal of it. That's how easy it is. But I like to go on farther. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and is so justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. So by the heart you believe, and there's a lot of people out there believe in their heart, but will not confess it. It's a twofold thing here. God gave you twofold where he says, first you must believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus came to this earth, died, and went back to heaven, and now is there for you. You gotta believe it in your heart. But the next stage of this is a little bit harder because God requires you to confess it. Confess it to yourself. Confess it to your other people. Confess it to the devil. Confess it, because the mouth, out of the mouth, comes the salvation of your heart. Woo! Wow! And I like this little last part. It says, the scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. Did you hear that? Oh, my goodness, I'd underline that one. I'd underline that one because that's a promise sent from heaven from God himself saying to you right now, that all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is confess it. All you got to do this. And if you do this, you will not be ashamed and you will never be disappointed because Jesus is always there. Come on. We must realize that we are lost without Jesus. We must accept the call from the Holy Spirit as He draws you to Jesus and by faith receive the Lord Jesus into your heart. It's that simple. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name." I choose Jesus. Hallelujah. How will this affect this decision you make? How will it affect others? Oh, I'm glad you asked. In Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Do you understand? Peter and John were fishermen. They were not educated men. But I will tell you, when they got up and spoke to the crowd, they spoke with the authority of the Holy Spirit. They spoke with the power and the anointing of God. They spoke with such authority that it took precedence to the people around them. And thousands came to know the Lord that day. And it started an adding to the church on a daily basis because they had something the people wanted. You have something this old world dying in sin wants. You have it when you've accepted the Lord and you choose Jesus. I like this one. When you choose Jesus, you will become fanatical to some. You will become and cause divisions among others. You will. But I will also say this. Some will be saved by your testimony. I'm not going to tell you all, but I'm going to tell you some. Some will see what you have. Like Peter and John, they saw that they had something that they didn't have, and they wanted it, and they chose Jesus. What's the effect on others? You'll be a fanatic. That'll be some. Some will call you that. How many of you have been called fanatic? How many have been called holy rollers? I'm guilty. Okay? You know? Don't let it get you down. Huh. That's a good reason to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When they call me fanatic, praise the Lord. That'll really cause them to call me fanatic. You'll cause divisions amongst others. Yes, you will. Some will hear, some will understand, some won't. But I like the last part. Those that do hear, those that do understand, those that will accept will be won over by your testimony. It doesn't even have to be a big testimony. You just got to live the light. If you will live the light for Jesus, as you choose Jesus and you live that light for Him, that's going to set precedence to this whole society. You know what? If every church today, here in just Sparks, Reno, if every church today and every constituent of that church, if they all got on fire for God and they chose Jesus, truly chose Jesus, because there are a lot of them there that are just church pew warmers, okay? But if they truly chose Jesus and choose Him and walk out that door, I'll tell you something, there would be a difference in this city. There would be a difference in this community because they'd walk out living that light, living that in a dark, cruel world, and people would see what they have and say, "What is wrong with you? What's up with you? I know the Lord is my Savior, and I love Him dearly," and that's going to set a precedence for them to come to know Jesus. I choose Jesus. Last but not least, what are the results of this decision? Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." The Lord will become your Father. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 18 says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughter, says the Lord Almighty." That one I would underline. That one I would underline. Because that one right there gives you a prerequisite of how God can be your Father. And he says you got to accept Jesus as your Savior. But then you got to do something. Remove yourself from unclean thoughts, unclean things. Anything in this world and society that can bring an unclean thought in your heart, your soul, or your mind needs to be removed. Shun the very appearance of evil. If you can do that, God says, "I'll be your Father, and you'll be my children. You will inherit a mansion over the hilltop." Now, this one's a good one. See, you know, you guys, I gave you a lot of thoughts that are provocative thinkers, but here's the good one. This one here, this is another one that you need to mark your Bible with. And it's found in John 14, verse 2-3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus is saying, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you will be also." Oh my goodness. If you don't grab anything else, grab that one. Because that's your inheritance. Every born-again believer today, everyone that chooses Jesus today can mark that one in their Bible, and they can abide by it because it is a promise from God. God gives you promises, and this is one of his great promises. And he is telling you, "I am building a mansion for you in heaven." Jesus, what a great thing. We have a carpenter up in heaven building your mansion for you right now. As we speak, he's on there now. I've heard these people say, "I'll just be glad to have a pauper's house." Hey, just get me one with, I just want it made of cardboard or paper if I have to, just so that I make it. Well, if that's the way you feel, fine. But I'm not looking that way. Oh, my Lord, I gave you the specs. You want the layout? I'll give you the layout, oh God. You're building a mansion and make it great for me. Hallelujah. So, Lord, when I get out there, guess I will be able to invite you over. I'll be able to invite Peter, Paul, Joshua, Moses. I'll be able to invite all the Old Testament autarchs, oh God. I'll be able to invite them all over, oh God. And we'll have a glorious time praising you. Hallelujah. I'm looking for the mansion, not the pauper's house. And every Christian should be doing that. Every Christian should be looking for that. And the very last one, see, I'm leaving you guys on a great positive point here, because the very last one here, it says here, God's blessings will be upon you and your life. God's blessings will be upon you and your family if you choose Jesus. Genesis 12, verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." If you choose Jesus, look at the benefits of choosing him. Look at the disasters of not choosing him. I choose Jesus. What decision will you make this morning? Will you be like Joshua? "As for me and my house, I'm going to choose the Lord." Or the world that does not see the need for a Savior and they choose Satan. Sharon. This morning, I choose Jesus. How about you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I choose you. Over everything that this world might offer, I choose you. Over everything that is in this world, I choose you. Because I recognize, God, there's more than what this world can offer. There's more than what life here on this earth can offer. There's life eternity. There's a mansion being built on that hilltop. There are blessings being prepared for my life because I choose you. Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, I choose you. Choice is yours this morning, church. Choose this day whom you will serve. And God is calling individuals this morning, like Joshua. You're sitting on the fence. You have not made your decision. You're sitting on the fence. You're thinking, but you have not made your decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I pray, God, through your Holy Spirit right now, God, you are talking to individuals right now, and I know that you are. I know that you are, oh God. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. If you're that person that will with me say, I choose Jesus, I want you to lift your hand right now. I want you to stand. If you choose Jesus, stand right now. If you choose Jesus, stand. Because you're not telling me, what you're doing is you're telling Jesus. Heavenly Father, look around. Look around this morning and see each and every one. They choose you over the world. They choose you over society. They choose you over Satan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands right now. And I'm going to ask you, if you're struggling with whatever you're struggling with, whatever it is, if you're struggling, I'm not going to ask you to come forward today. I'm going to ask you to call it out to Jesus right now. You don't have to call it loud. You can call it in your breath, but I want you to call it to Jesus right now. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever it is, you got to tell Jesus. Because he says, my burden. It's light. And what you're doing today is you're holding a burden that's going to overpower you, overbear you, and destroy you. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Come on. Tell him right now. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, oh God, I pray. Help me, oh God. I choose you. But I need help. I choose you. But I need help. Help them this day, Lord. Help them this day, Lord.
You are my all.
Just pray it out now as Sharon sings this song.
You are my everything. Both great and small.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
You your life for me, made everything new. Oh, how about you? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything. Both great and small. He gave his life for me. Made everything new. He is my everything. Now more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. Yes, Lord, I wouldn't trade you for riches untold, because you are my I wouldn't take one step without you. I could never go on. I couldn't live one day without you, because I don't have the strength to make it on my own. More than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Money comes and goes, and we can't take anything with us. You are my everything.
Heavenly Father, I do pray this morning that this message touched the hearts of everyone. And Lord, I confess from my mouth and boldly proclaim, O God, I choose you. I choose you. Be with us this week. And those that truly do choose you, God, bless them. Bless them with untold blessings. Spiritual blessings.
Yes, Lord.
Unfold into their lives.
Yes, Lord. Let us not be ashamed, Lord.
Financial blessings.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you.
Because they're not ashamed to say,
yes.
I choose.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you. Be with us this week, I pray. Love one another, church. Love one another.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.